Live from Annandale, this is The Grelly with your host, Jerry Negrelli.
Give people a second to get their tape recorders ready.
Jerry Negrelli.
This is the great Jerry Negrelli.
You are a guy who does a thing on the pony's music.
This is The Grelly, and I am Jerry Negrelli. Welcome to the show. The iTunes reviews are flying in for season two of The Grelly. This loquacious reviewer had this to say, quote, "This is a good listen." That's right, folks. A man of many words, or woman of many words. I appreciate that feedback. If you'd like to leave a similarly short review, or maybe a longer one with some jokes, feel free to go to iTunes and leave your feedback. It always helps. I also wanted to give an update on the Kickstarter for Jingle Fest 6 in Nashville. So Gary Braun is in Nashville right now, scouting venues as time allows, which may mean it doesn't allow. But he's there for work and has graciously offered to go check out a few of the places that are on the list. So I'm hoping to get some details, some photos, or maybe nothing if he's too busy. But that should be helpful. I've been to Nashville two or three times. It's a wonderful place. Got a couple of venues in mind. And I hope we get that settled here if the Kickstarter succeeds. So if you've backed Kickstarter, tell your friends to do the same thing. We are about 60% of the way through with 2 weeks left to go. And I always get nervous when we're short of our target here. But hopefully we're on track and we get some of the folks that actually are local there and want to attend back us. And those of you that have helped us in the past that just want to see us do something stupid and be a part of this to help make this silliness go on. I'd appreciate that. And in the spirit of that, one of the songs and actually one of the working titles of Jingle Fest 6 before I decided to go to Nashville was Worker Man Hero. So I think I may offer some kind of swag with that iconography or word or something around it as part of a reward for the Kickstarter here in the coming weeks as we get towards the end. And then this little song I put together for Worker Man Hero, which is a play on John Lennon's Working Class Hero that I parodied as a podcast intro maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Now here is a quick riff on this. I'd love your feedback on this. I'm not sure this is the final version yet. If you have other anecdotes about Worker Man Heroes or things that worker men do that maybe should be memorialized in this song, please send me your feedback, ChineseFood@tkjingles.com, mailbag@littlesongs.net, whatever means you want to get to me, @JerryNegrelli on Twitter. Send me your thoughts on this song. This is Worker Man Hero, a worker man in progress.
Unscrew the ketchup and resod the lawn. Label each clicker with a thing it turns on. And when the old man returns, you'd better be gone. A worker man hero is what you will be. A worker man hero who plugs in TV. Shovel his driveway and park the man's car. Help find some sucker to buy the man's bar. He'll thank you with hats and a pat on the arm. A worker man hero is what you will be. The worker man hero of Mr. Tony.
And now, back to The Grelly.
All right, it's time for a little story. So, many years ago, this is maybe 2003, Michelle and I had been dating for a little less than a year, and my in-laws invited me to come along to their summer vacation for a long weekend in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And so we went over the Bay Bridge to Rehoboth Beach. I'd never been there before. And they'd been there a couple of times, and they thought this would be a great place to go, just a quick getaway for a long weekend at the beach. So we drove up Friday night, and we had a suite. We were all in one car, but we were also sharing one room. And I had the couch, and then my future in-laws and Michelle and her sister, I think, came along, had the two queen beds in the main room. So the next morning, my father-in-law got up really early and went out scouting beaches for us to go to for the day. And the ones near the hotel were already pretty crowded, so he found something that was a little bit off the beaten path, and he came back and he was all excited that there were very few people there. It was going to be a great place for us to go. So we drove over there, and it turned out it was a place called Poodle Beach, which, if you're familiar with the area, actually is a nude beach, some semi-official nude beach. I don't know if this is a blessed thing by Rehoboth or just kind of some organic thing that sprouted up, but it was not quite the scene we were expecting, and it was clear why it wasn't quite as busy. But not wanting to appear judgmental or rude to those that were there, in short whispers, we decided that we needed to stick around for a little while just to make sure that, you know, we didn't appear like we'd made the wrong choice. We had to maintain our pride or something. So we stuck around at this nude beach for like a half hour or something. Then we drove back to the hotel with a plan of walking to a nearby beach and just cutting our losses and just, you know, finding one where, you know, an umbrella or something out there in the main area. But then my father-in-law said, wait a minute, I have lost my keys. And, you know, we had just been driving and it seemed like they couldn't have gone far. So we started looking to try to help, and we couldn't find them anywhere. And then at this point, the focus of this weekend vacation shifted from let's go find a nice place at the beach to let's figure out where these keys are. And so we looked for a while. We asked the front desk. Nobody had turned anything in. They didn't have any idea. So then we got on the phone, and this was Saturday in the maybe mid to late afternoon by this point. We weren't sure. There was a spare key back in Annandale, and we were now, you know, in Rehoboth. So the thought was, oh, maybe somebody could mail it here, but oh, no, the post office isn't open on Sunday. There was a FedEx or UPS facility that was maybe 20 minutes away or something that maybe somebody could send it to, but I don't recall. I feel like they weren't doing a lot of Sunday service at the time either. So we researched a bunch of options. And, you know, for whatever reason, I guess solidarity or something, we all just sat around listening to my father-in-law make phone calls. So, you know, this vacation quickly went from let's go enjoy some time at the beach to, oh, crap, we're stranded. Let's figure out how to get out of this. But most of it was done vicariously by listening to one half of a phone conversation. Anyway, ultimately, through troubleshooting and just trying to figure out what could we do, we identified that Greyhound has a service where you can send an item as a passenger on one of their buses and then just wait for it at a bus stop and you can pick it up. Michelle's uncle came to the rescue and went to the house and got the spare key, put it in an envelope, went to the Greyhound bus station, and the next day, this was going to be coming in then on Sunday at some ungodly time, like 11 p.m. or just some awful hour. So we spent all this time researching, figuring this out, and basically consumed the whole weekend. And then we went to this Greyhound bus stop at you know, late in the evening on Sunday night. And sure enough, the bus got there. They opened up the luggage compartment as people were getting off, and there was a little package that had a key in it, and the problem was solved. And we went back and went back to the hotel, and then the next morning got up early to check out. And as we were doing so, asked one more time, hey, by the way, did anybody turn in any keys? And it turned out that, yes, indeed, somebody had turned in the key fob within minutes of it having been lost that very first day. It's just that they didn't know what it was. So this is 2003. A key fob didn't look like a key, and that was a relatively new phenomenon. So they'd had it there the entire time. We could have avoided that entire thing and just enjoyed some time at the beach, but instead, you know, it was there, and we just never got it. So now, you know, he had the spare key and the main key, and we were able to leave. But every time I've thought of Rehoboth in the time since then, I've remembered just that feeling of being stuck and being so powerless at the mercy of somebody else, and just that feeling of dread about how to get back. And that's something that comes up periodically that I just have not let my father-in-law live down, that, you know, that he lost his keys there, and that we were all stranded.
Oh, when the summer comes and the old folks need a break, they want to go to the beach, but there's only one road that they can take. Over the Bay Bridge to Delaware, yeah. They're all driving with one eye open up in the air.
Over the Bay Bridge,
the old man's holding his breath.
Over the Bay Bridge,
awaiting imminent death.
Over the Bay Bridge,
look out below.
Over the Bay Bridge,
do Cadillacs float over,
over the Bay Bridge, Bay Bridge.
So now here we are, 16 or so years later, and Michelle had a Zumba certification in Bethany Beach, Delaware this past Saturday. And so she said, hey, you and the kids should come and enjoy the beach. We haven't been back there in forever. It could be a great time, and you guys can just go have fun, and then Sunday we'll head back. So we did that. We went up. We found this nice oceanfront suites, Residence Inn by Marriott, this really nice place right on the beach, and had a great time that day. At the end of the day, we had so much fun. We said, you know what? Why don't we stay Sunday too? So, Michelle, you can come and join it. We'll extend our stay a day. We'll drive back Monday morning. And that way we can all, you know, have fun as a family. So we did that. Another great day. Two wonderful days at the beach in Delaware. And as we're packing up Sunday night, karma came to bite me in the ass as I realized I did not have my car keys. And mind you, after that experience from all those years ago, I was so paranoid that this was going to happen that I was constantly patting my pocket, double-checking where I was putting it inside the swim bag. And somehow, in the course of going between the beach and the hotel a couple of times, my Toyota key fob disappeared. So I decided, all right, I'm not going to worry about this now. Monday morning, I will pack everything up, and I'll go to the car and touch the handle, and I'm sure it's trapped at the bottom of one of these bins or bags, and we have it, we just can't see it. And unfortunately, that was not the case. I went down to the car, and nothing worked. So I called Geico and said, well, all right, maybe I accidentally locked it in the trunk when I was packing up some of the beach gear last night. Let's pop it open. So I got a guy over there. He quickly jimmied the lock. I crawled inside the car. I had to, like, get into the trunk to try to open it up with one of those, like, emergency release handles. It was just ridiculous experience. I ended up setting off the car alarm 5 or 6 times, and the hotel staff kept coming over. And no luck, though. After all that trouble, I spent an hour with this guy trying to just search every nook and cranny, get the car open and open everything. And every time we touched anything, the car would relock itself. It was just the Toyota, you know, safety features for theft are incredible, but also a major pain in the you know what. Anyway, that didn't work. So I called a tow truck to tow to the closest Toyota dealership to Bethany Beach, which was about an hour away, to have a new key made. They had one key fob in stock. They said that they could make it, and I could pick it up that Monday afternoon. It would take about 2 hours or so. So the tow truck driver came over, and we closed the doors so that he could load it up, and he said he had no problem, you know, reopening it with his gear and stuff. And it was really impressive. He had all these different tools. There was a 7-foot clearance in this garage. So trying to get this thing towed out of there was a nightmare because the truck was 7 feet tall, and that was the smallest one available. I'd had Geico call around to find anybody that had a low-profile tow truck. And the space I was parked in, it was right up against the wall. There were cars on either side of me. So all the different levers and gears and things that he had to use to try to get this thing jacked up onto these little rails to tow it out of there. It was really impressive. The guy really knew what he was doing. Anyway, so he towed it out there. And the plan was he was going to drop it off there. They were going to take a couple of hours to make the key. And then I was going to Uber out there. But after he got there, he called me and said, hey, I dropped it off. It's good to go. Don't worry about it. They've got it. They're going to work on it now. Then the dealership called me about 10 minutes later and said, hey, can you ask the tow truck driver to come back over? Because we accidentally locked ourselves out of the car, and we don't really know how to jimmy the lock. And for us to do it, we have to order like a laser cutter, and it's going to take 4 days. So what the hell are you talking about? So I called the tow truck driver. He was still close by. He came back over. He reopened the door for him. And then they called me and said, all right, we're getting to work now. We'll have it done late afternoon. So I call back about 7 o'clock. They closed at 8. It was going to be about 45 minutes to an hour to Uber out there. So I wanted to make sure that I called before I started that trip and said, hey, you guys should be done by now. He said, oh, no, actually, in the course of us locking ourselves out and reopening it and then trying to get things working, we accidentally put the car into like an emergency fail-safe mode. It can't be touched for another 12 hours. It's gone dead. So we're gonna start again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. when we open. But don't worry, this whole job will be done by 9 a.m. tomorrow. Just come back and, you know, come here at 9 tomorrow, maybe 9:30 to be safe. So I called them. This is now going into Tuesday. I called them and we were supposed to leave originally Sunday. We'd extended to Monday. Now we're about 24 hours. We're a day late into it. So I call them at 8 a.m. on Tuesday morning and they say, all right, everything's on track. You can get here by 9 o'clock. We'll be ready for you. So I go to the front desk of the Ocean Suites Residence Inn in Bethany Beach to ask for a late checkout because my plan is I'm going to leave 8:30 or so, get there by 9:30, just in case they're running late. I don't get back to the hotel until 11, 11:30. I have to still have to pack the car up. I might not be done until noon or a little bit after. So I want to ask for a late checkout because the checkout time is like 11. So I want to make sure I have an hour or so of buffer just to make sure that I can get the family out of there because we also have the dog with us. And if we get kicked out of the hotel, Bethany is not a dog-friendly beach. There's really nowhere to go except wandering the streets of the city, I guess. But you can't go on the boardwalk. You can't go to the beach. It's just not allowed. So I get to the front desk, and there's a couple in front of me asking for a late checkout as well. And the clerk, the woman at the front, gives them a nice smile and says, oh, yes, absolutely, this won't be a problem. I got you a 4 p.m. checkout. I didn't even know that was possible, honestly. So I got you a 4 p.m. checkout. You're all set. And they go on their way. I walk up and say, hi, I have a problem with my car. And I explain the whole situation in a much shorter version, that I'd lost my keys. And I said, you know, I'm stranded here. I should be back by 11, but just in case I'm not, can we get a late checkout maybe till 12 or 1? Just a little bit of extra time to make sure my family's not stuck and that I can get all of our stuff into the car. And the woman gives me a menacingly pleasant smile and shakes her head. No, I'm sorry. There's really nothing we can do for you. You have to check out by 11. I can't do a thing. And I said, well, you know, I couldn't help but overhear that group in front of me, you gave them a 4 p.m. checkout without really even blinking. It seemed like that wasn't a problem. I said, oh, yes, sir, but they're Marriott ambassadors and you're not. So the best we can do for you is 11 o'clock. So I said, all right, well, do you have a manager that I could speak to or something? I said, oh, no, I'm sorry. The manager is in a staff meeting. She won't be available until 9, so you can't talk to her. And oh, this is just unbelievable. So anyway, I said, all right, well, I guess we're just screwed. So I'll just try to get back. So I go to the dealership and they are not ready. So this is now, I get there at 9:15 or something and the car is not ready. And it turns out it's because the tow truck driver, when he dropped the car off, he put it in a place that was outside of the Wi-Fi range of the dealership. Now, why that would matter, I don't know. I guess it has something to do with the tools they use to reset the computer or something. So it kept failing. And anyway, I don't know, it took maybe another 3 or 4 hours. And they had to eventually just get the car in neutral and push it to closer to the dealership or something. And Toyota, I don't think you can really put it in neutral if it's off. It was really complicated. Anyway, took a lot longer than planned. So in the meantime, them not giving me a late checkout, I had to extend my stay an extra day again. So there was yet another day added to this vacation. And so I got back to the hotel late afternoon and at this point decided, all right, well, I'll just make the most of it here and then we'll leave. You know, we'll leave tomorrow morning because I've already had to pay for this day just so we wouldn't get, you know, kicked to the curb. And that's the end of the story. Our vacation ended up lasting, our little mini getaway ended up lasting an extra 3 days, essentially, because I, after 16 years of lording over the stupidity of my father-in-law losing the car keys at the beach, made the exact same mistake and then ended up having a much, much, much worse ordeal trying to get it home. I think he was able to solve that problem in less than 24 hours and get that key. And myself, I dealt with many, many more shenanigans and ended up getting an extra 3-day super expensive vacation with extended stays thanks to the combined efforts of the Toyota dealership and the merciless staff at the Ocean Suites.
I'm not sure why, but you're listening to The Grelly.
So all that talk about Delaware and the beaches there got me thinking of one of my favorite jingles that I had the pleasure to write, which was a parody of the Yaz song Only You. Now, just for some background, I always really thought that TK jingles and little songs, this whole thing, would just be songs about email, faxes, and notes. And I was kind of disappointed when that changed. I mean, as I proved with the Schwitz songs, I could take one theme, one idea, and riff on it about 100 different ways and still find humor, at least to myself, and new angles and different ways to tackle that. So now that I'm not doing that and that this has morphed into more of a subject matter thing, I often sit down trying to think of ways to find new angles on things that Tony talks about, cliches that he says, things he repeats, and come up with what is that concept and what's the angle I can take on it that's unique. And so oftentimes the jingles become that, where it's some comment he's made or point he's made, taken to the extreme, or maybe mashed up with another jingle or another idea. And so this is one of those. So Tony always jokes that someday he's going to just be some senile old man wandering in front of the browse about. And he also often says that the podcast or the radio show was always his favorite thing, and he would do it even if he had no audience. So those two ideas, that he'll be senile wandering in front of a bookstore and he would do his podcast no matter what because he loves it, are combined into this song. And the image that I'm trying to paint here is that of this senile old man talking into a shoe as a microphone, recording a podcast for a couple of birds. And I hope that this captures that image for you, and you can really picture Tony wandering around out there. And another thing I really loved about this song is a writing technique that I rarely use because I think it's a half cheat, but also maybe half clever. I don't know which side it goes to. But it's the idea of a rhyme that crosses lines, where you end the line with either the part of the phrase or part of a word, and then you continue into the next line. So listen to this to hear that little gimmick kind of towards the end of the song as well. So this is now Only You at the Browse About.
Yodeling in front of a store at the Delaware shore, I see an old man asking pigeons if he has enough time, and now his carpet hotline is a tin can. All he wanted was $1 million, but we know nation wouldn't pay that much. So Tony's talking to only you. Walked out on a 2-year contract to start his own podcast with help from Harley. Now he's talking into a shoe, asking Barry's Veluga, where are we? Waves his arms as he screams and shouts, scaring families at the browse about. Tony's talking to only you. Tony's future is basically this.
So that was one I did about the beach in Delaware and the browse about. I wanted to play songs from Joe Arrow and Steve Lipton, actually a collaboration with Steve and Tom Scott from Tulsa. The first one is Joe, a parody of Billy Joel's Vienna. And I've wanted to do this song forever, but I love Joe's angle about all these fears that are finally catching up with Tony, and then all that is left for him is his future at the browse about. It's done very well. And then the Steve and Tom Scott song, Take It to Rehoboth, never made Tony's show, but was performed live for Tony at Jingle Fest 1 just a few days after Steve recorded the very first version. So here's two songs from Joe and Steve also about this theme that I just wanted to share because these are a few of my favorites kind of on this topic.
Orange man, I hear that you're scared of every little thing. Why don't you grow a pear? It's just not good for your heart. So why are you so paranoid? Afraid the guys are
gonna chop off your head. You better calm yourself down before you fall over dead. You'll catch Ebola flu. Well, there's so many fears to avoid. Yeah. But you know that when the truth is told, that you don't have much time left because you're already old. You just might check out before another joke about rides you. When will you realize Rouseabout waits for you?
Right, this is about Mr. Tony taking the rest of the summer off, which we don't really like. You can spend all your time at the Rouseabout. You can spend afternoons at PTI. If the radio show left the air tomorrow, you'd be at your sink drinking wine. So when 980 gives you summer freedom, you're orange and have no hair. Big hoe basement floor.
Hippos are everywhere.
People getting naughty in the arboretum.
$5.70
this fall. You're coming back. Please come back. Tony, I'm begging you to come back for some more. So get me on the Bay Bridge, a terrifying climb, and take it to Rehoboth one more time.
Take it to Rehoboth.
Woo!
Take it to Rehoboth. Take it to Rehoboth
one more time. Thank you very much, Tony.
If you're enjoying this show, and if you also enjoy tea or coffee, I would encourage you to please support me on patreon.com/littlesongs, and I'll send you a Little Songs mug as a thank you gift. If you're already doing that, thank you. Your contributions are what make this podcast, the website, and a lot of the preparation and silly things that I do possible. So I really appreciate that.
Join the conversation by emailing ChineseFood@tkjingles.com.
So as you know, Chatter is closed, and that's both sad and also something we've laughed about for about 2.5 years in preparation for this. So, you know, on a real level, in terms of the investment loss and the people impacted, it sucks. In terms of the jokes and things that we've done for the last 2.5 years, you know, we kind of forecasted this. So here are three of the songs that I'd worked on between the previous season of The Grelly and this new incarnation here. I just wanted to share here. And there were three of my favorite aspects of this era. So the first one is a parody of U2's One. I had done this song previously about Tony's one friend, Bubis, but several times during the Chatter era, Tony would give a shout out to the single patron that they had in the restaurant. And I just, the idea that they would be open for breakfast and there'd be one customer seemed so much sadder than there being no customers. Because with no customers, the staff could go home. But with one person, they're all there catering to just that one dude. So the image of that and how they had, you know, this just pathetic nature of there being a single customer, I just wanted to pay homage to that. The next one is a parody of Billy Joel's Zanzibar called Tony's Bar. And I wanted to get in a couple of digs with this one. The first was around underwear, which doing live reads for underwear, just again, just like the previous thing, it just seems so sad. Now, I'm not judging because I don't do live reads for anybody because nobody would at this time pay me to do this crap. So don't think I'm on some high horse about this. I just find it very funny that you know, you have to do underwear reads to make a buck. It just seems silly. And When Michael did the underwear read for that Breakfast of the Century, the last breakfast we had before the Jingle Fest on that Friday show, the underwear read was without a doubt the biggest ovation I have ever seen anything related to this show in person, being at a taping. I've been to maybe three or four of them. And when Michael said, "This is the underwear read," that whole place, it was like a standing ovation almost. They were so damned excited to hear the underwear read. I couldn't believe it. So, you know, hey, it's working out. So anyway, Zanzibar touches on the underwear read. And then the last joke I wanted to get in there was something about John Junior Feinstein decorating the urinals in the bathroom, because Tony had a picture of Junior above the men's urinal for a year or so. And actually, we found out on that last breakfast, he had moved it to one of the stalls, one of the stalls that ultimately was overflowing that had them close the restaurant later that day. They had been downgraded in terms of the photos. So those two jokes are in Zanzibar. And then lastly, I had three or four songs in the queue about this. Now I may never get to them just because the restaurant's closed. But the idea of the mural and Tony being so cheap that he wouldn't pay for someone to paint. And I don't know if Tony actually ever said this or if this was just my taking the idea of Tony's cheapness to the extreme. But I had this image of not only would Tony not pay the artist to come in and paint the mural, but when they were done, he would keep the paints and the brushes, that he would supply it, but they couldn't take it with him. He was going to keep all the leftovers. So here we have one about the one customer, Tony's bar about underwear and urinals, and keeping the paint about Tony's ultimate cheapness in trying to give an artist great exposure to paint the basement of his restaurant.
This is getting silly. 2 years down the drain, you went and bought a restaurant, and it's going down in flames. 'Cause you see one dude, that's not a lot. You're serving breakfast, but they all forgot. He's just one. How can you sustain a for-profit business? Let's hope he comes back again. Lock the doors and windows, make him stay for lunch. Toss him a Cheddar t-shirt, then charge him $50. You ask if he'd like dinner, but he says he's gotta go. How can this charade go on when all you've got is one dude, one plate, one cup of coffee? Man, let's hope he stays. One guy, how much? Tony dances and the audience applauds. He asks if he liked the eggs and the new decor downstairs. Whoa! The new bathrooms are beautiful. Look who decorates the urinal. Wow, John Feinstein. Tomorrow I'll meet you there. We'll watch Tony sell underwear. Save me a seat near Jen and Claire. We all will pay in full. In full. I own a restaurant with a really dingy basement. I'd like to spruce it up with a mural of me and my friends. Oh, so I offered major exposure. Jeannie asked me if I was sober or just depraved. Oh, yes, she did. I found out it's tough to run a restaurant. All the workmen I hire, they refuse to work for free. No, the waiters don't want PTI hats, and the artists only want cash, so I guess I will pay. Yeah. But I'm keeping the paint. Yeah, 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 I'm keeping the paint. All the brushes.
In retrospect, it's probably a good thing that Tony was only offering major exposure and not actually cash, because he would have lost money and that artist's work would have been painted over or demolished after only 6 months or so. So I guess it all worked out in the end. And speaking of the end, that is just about the end of this episode of The Grelly. I'd love your feedback. If you're enjoying this, let me know. If you want to hear something different, if you want to hear other things, if you're enjoying the story time or you want to hear the shadow make a return or something else, I'd love to hear about it. But that's it for me this week. I hope to be back next week.
Unbelievable.
It's just fabulous.
Perhaps we should stop asking people to send in jingles.
Well, it's so good.